Welcome to Fresh Take, your favorite weekly podcast that delivers a healthy dose of information pertaining to healthy lifestyles, organic and sustainable agriculture, and numerous topics related to the environment. Thanks for tuning in. Our industry experts are here to provide you with a fresh take on topics that can help you optimize your lifestyle and well-being. Welcome to Fresh Take. On today's episode, we're very honored to have NOP Deputy Administrator Dr. Jenny Tucker with us. I also have Rom, who is our Executive Director, and I also have Ray Chang, who is the Board President of Florida Organic Growers and Consumers. So welcome, everyone.
Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Good morning.
So on today's episode, Dr. Tucker, I'd really like to talk with you a little bit about the NOP standards and the creation and enforcement within the NOP. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this, and then we'll dive right in.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here. My name is Jenny Tucker. I'm the Deputy Administrator of the National Organic Program. And so National Organic Program is a component within the larger U.S. Department of Agriculture. And our job is to protect the organic seal and to support organic farmers around the world. And so I started with a degree in environmental science. And so I love the idea of systems, of how systems interact, both scientific, environmental, and human systems. So how do we all work together to make the world a better place? And so that's why I'm here.
Wonderful. How long have you been with the NOP, Jenny?
Yeah, I've been with National Organic Program for about 8 years, and then I've been in charge for almost 2 years now. And it has been just a fabulous experience working with incredibly smart and devoted people.
Wonderful.
Jenny, I know that National Organic Programs does a lot of work. As a brand owner of the USDA Organic Seal, managing certifier is one part of the job. But then NOP does a lot of great works, like, you know, being its enforcement, preventing fraud. You know, we have seen and read many articles and many directives coming out of NOP, you know, making sure the rules are tightened. Can you talk a little bit more about that work that NOP is doing?
One of the things I love about the program is the diversity of activities that we do. So we establish standards for farmers so that everyone knows what the rules are. And it's a level playing field for everybody. So for everyone who joins, wants to be part of the organic partnership, wants to explore the organic option, that they know what those standards are. So our job is to set those standards and explain them to everybody so people know what to expect. We oversee our network of third-party certifiers. So that's the public-private partnership. So certifiers like QCS doing great work to certify organic farms and businesses and to protect the market. So we oversee the network of certifiers doing that work out in the world. And then we enforce. You know, unfortunately, there are some bad guys out there who are going to use the term organic, for example, when they're not certified, and that's against the law. And so enforcement is a big part of our work to make sure that we're protecting the choices of organic farms and businesses that are doing the right thing. We also support the Organic Standards Board. National Organic Standards Board is a board of volunteers that comes together to talk about what the standards should be, to talk about what the pressing issues are facing the community. And we support their work. We go to conferences. We meet with farmers. We work with other parts of U.S. Department of Agriculture to help connect resources to the farmers that need them.
That's an amazing kind of work that you all do out there, not just managing the certifiers, but, you know, making sure the compliance is creates a level playing field both for the U.S. producers and producers or farmers outside the U.S. and also making sure, you know, things like fraud is being prevented. Recently, I happened to see some strong action taken by the NOP in order to maintain the integrity of the program, meaning NOP detected a fraud and took several actions, and it was really applauding the efforts the NOP has taken over there, taking a really right stand, saying that, hey, we would not let this happen. Well, maybe in the interest of the viewers or listeners here, can you just elaborate a little bit more on some of the strong steps and things NOP is doing to prevent fraud in the organic industry?
Yeah, our number one commitment is to protecting organic farms and businesses. And our work over the last few years in enforcement has really matured dramatically. We have many, many hands that support us in that work. And so there have been some high-profile fraud investigations and enforcement actions. I want to emphasize that there are way more good farmers doing good work out there. And unfortunately, it's only a very few bad actors that, unfortunately, that does become what it is focused on. But there's so many farmers doing good work out there and aligning with the standards and working hard every day. So unfortunately, there are some fraudsters out there, and our job is to stop them, to protect the choices that consumers and farmers are making in the organic market. In the sort of many hands realm, we work with a USDA Office of Inspector General. Through them, we work with the Department of Justice. They have a strong interest in protecting organic farms and businesses, and that's done through high-profile enforcement actions. And so we take enforcement actions when the rules are being broken, when we have the evidence to substantiate that the rules have been broken. We also work with certifiers to make sure that they're implementing the rules consistently and effectively, to make sure that the system is robust at all levels. A lot of what we're all trying to do is build strong organic control systems that protect all parts of the market. So the enforcement work, a lot of times we're not able to talk about investigations that are underway. But an awful lot of what we're doing at the program is in that enforcement and compliance work.
Just touching a little bit on what Rahm mentioned a minute ago, Jenny, with fraud being one of the challenges that's a huge issue within the NOP. In your opinion, what are some of the other barriers or challenges that you feel like really affect U.S. organic farmers, the ones that are doing the right thing?
Yeah, one of the challenges for organic farmers, it takes a lot of investment to be an organic farm. There are a lot of rules to follow. The standards are, it's hard. It is a high bar to enter organic certification. And part of that is the transition into organic, that a lot of folks don't realize that before anything can be harvested and sold as organic, it has to go through 3 years of not having any exposure to a prohibited substance. And so that's a very high barrier to entry. And so I think helping organic farmers, helping any farmer that's interested in becoming organic understand what the resources are to help them make that transition, connecting them with other farmers. I think podcasts like this, other resources from organizations like Florida Organic Growers are so important in helping farmers decide whether they want to make that choice and then to fully invest. So that transition is a big jump for folks. And so when you are buying, if you're a consumer, when you're buying an organic product, you know, understanding really the love and the care and the work and the time that went into creating that product, these are truly labors of love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the NOP is also doing a lot of good work. We look at the website as a source of useful information. You know, we read the Organic Insider that comes out from the NOP as a vehicle or a use of information. The NOP has to develop products and services. So if I'm an average farmer, I'm a new farmer, and I am a consumer, if I have question in NOP, then I can go to a different website. Like they can go to Florida Organic Growers website. But if they need to have more information, more questions answered, what are some of the resources you suggest looking out?
One tool I'm really proud of is the Organic Integrity Learning Center. And so this is a learning management system. It is online, all self-directed learning that anyone with a computer and interconnection can get to, even from a phone. And so it is free 24/7 online training. It includes an overview of what the organic standards are. It includes an entire course called Sound and Sensible Certification. And so a few years back, we invested resources to develop a lot of different tools for farmers who are interested in becoming organic. So, for example, you can literally watch somebody experience an organic inspection so you understand what it's like to go through that. There are tip sheets and fact sheets. Florida Organic Growers FOG did a lovely sort of bite-by-bite program that took each piece of organic certification and broke it down into components, because not everybody wants to sit for an hour, but they'll listen to a 10-minute video or watch a 10-minute video. And so I think resources like that that are packaged together in the Learning Center, again, available through our website for free to anybody, can help both beginning folks who are trying to learn about the standards and deciding whether to make the organic choice, all the way up to experienced producers that want to remind themselves of what the standards are. So, for example, we have an entire course on dairy compliance. Dairy is a big part of the organic market.
Absolutely.
And making sure we've got an even playing field is important, and training is an important way of doing that.
Yeah, the NOP is also helping small-scale producers and farmers in the U.S. by reducing the paperwork. The Sound and Sensible was one of those initiatives done by the National Organic Program, and we really applaud those efforts, because as a farmer organization, it's the number one complaint you usually get is, hey, a lot of paperwork. I don't want to be certified because it's a lot of paperwork.
Right.
And the NOP has really done a good job in making sure, hey, you don't have to have all those paperwork. The requirement from the regulation is this much, but you have to do this, this, and this. And in some cases, we use some of the templates the NOP has put together and work with ATRA and NCAT and National Center for Appropriate Technology. To those resources, we are using it. In fact, you mentioned about the Learning Center. Some of the workshops we do, we feel like we don't have to invent the wheel. You already have the resources there. So certain modules when we teach, we actually take the content from the NOP, which is done so well. So we just took it up and say, hey, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We'll just take it up and include.
Great to hear.
to include in the training program that we do, because certain things can be, it gives, and as when we educate, adult learning is very different than good old days when I used to go to college. So it makes life different. So it gives a variety, different educational experience as a tool. So
yeah, one of the points on the paperwork bit, Sound and Sensible, it's really about risk-based oversight, which is an important part of our sort of enforcement scheme now. We want the system to be sound in that we are protecting all farmers and to making sure that there is enough documentation to support the organic claim while also being sensible. Every farm is different. Every business is different. And so certifiers like QCS are really good at going into businesses and saying, you know, show me how your documentation supports your compliance.
Right.
And recognizing that records are going to be a little different for each business, and that's okay. And so I think the Sound and Sensible initiative was a good way of helping to understand what the record keeping requirements really are, while also making sure that there are enough records to absolutely confirm compliance and detect any fraud in the system.
Absolutely.
And I think education is really an important part of this, and I notice a lot of farmers that they're struggling because the financial burden they have to invest in the front. Then most of the farmer, when they're going in, that's like you say, 3-year transition period. In that period of time, they couldn't call themselves organic farmers. They could still sell their produce and all that stuff, but it requires a lot of beginning investment coming into this field. I don't know if NOP has programs or like financing mechanism that could help support or transition all these farmers into organic farmers.
One service U.S. Department of Agriculture provides is the cost share program, which is essentially it's a rebate program, and it works particularly well for small farmers making the entry into organic. It provides $750 or up to 75% of the cost of certification. And so if a farmer has both crops and livestock or crops and handling multiple scopes, they can get multiple cost share assistance. And so that can really help defray the costs of certification, and they can apply for that every year. And so I think that's a very helpful financial support for farmers joining the market. I think in terms of market development, connecting buyers and sellers for those long-term contracts that, again, when you're investing in organic, that is a long-term investment. You're
Absolutely.
In it for the long game. And so I think another tool that we have that I think is helping is the Organic Integrity Database. And so the database includes information about every certified organic farm under the U.S. system in the world. Mm-hmm. And so anyone certified to the USDA organic system is listed in the Organic Integrity Database. And we hear more and more that farmers are using that, ingredient providers are using that, ingredient buyers are using that to find other people to potentially partner with and understand what their market options are, informing the long-range contracts that can make it more financially rewarding in the long term. So those are the kinds of tools that I think support the market in different kinds of ways.
Yeah, the Kosher program, Florida Organic Growers, has been, together with the Organic Trade Association and other similar like-minded organizations, has been championing the Kosher program. Really, the Kosher program, say, for example, if you spend about, for certification costs is about $1,000 you get, and if you're certified and you're compliant, you're going to get $750 max, which is a good investment.
It's a good amount.
It's a good amount. The second part is that's one way I believe that NOP is making sure this is, NOP is a U.S. program. USDA Organic is a U.S. program supported and funded by the U.S. Congress. So that's one way NOP is making sure that program benefits the U.S. farmers. The program is applicability is not for everybody, but farmers in the U.S., and in the farmers in the United States. So that's one way the program is really helping U.S. producers and U.S. farmers. So I really appreciate and applaud the NOP's continued support for the cost share program.
Yeah, that is a program we get a lot of positive feedback on. And I love that distinction that you're making about it, that is support for folks in the U.S. The seal is considered a gold standard around the world. U.S. businesses are exporting organic product to other countries, and processors in the United States need ingredients from other countries. And so the availability of organic certification worldwide is an important part of the market, and everyone is held to the same rules. So a farmer growing in South America and Europe, they're held to sort of equivalent standards or the same standards as farmers here at home. And everyone is inspected every year.
Yeah. And going back to the integrity issue, just to mention the integrity issues, there is a lot of U.S. imports a lot of ingredients into the United States to make the final product, be it goji berry from China, or some of the bananas that comes from South America. The program, your National Organic Program, has done a good job in giving guidance to the certifiers and the importers and making sure that the product is compliant. So some ways we do is doing pesticide testing, random sampling at high-risk operations. Recently, the NOP has done NOP has done a good job from the detecting some of the fraud that was going on, specifically grains. NOP took out bad actors. I believe I read somewhere in your letter to the certifiers, or somewhere maybe in the Organic Insider newsletter, that at one point there were so many people out there certified. I don't remember the specific numbers, but they reduced from 300 or so to 75 or so. So that's a bold step to take for the NOP to go after. Sometimes people ask me the questions and say, why don't the NOP just do this? Why don't you just, it's a simple question. It appears to be a simple question. So I want to ask today, say, why don't the NOP just do this?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. The regulatory framework for the organic program, I think it's important for folks to understand it is complex. And it's complex for a reason. Because everyone's involved in it. Everyone's involved in developing the standards. And so the overarching framework is the Organic Foods Production Act, which is enacted by Congress. So it's actually Congress that sets all the laws. The Congress sets the organic public-private partnership. It defined that structure. And then within the framework of the act are the regulations. But we can't put regulations in place that aren't supported by the act. And so while I would love to wave a magic wand and have certain things happen, we have to always have fidelity to that original act and to the regulations. And so a quick example on that is import certificates. You know, sometimes I get asked, well, why can't you just stop, all of this from coming into the United States? And it's, well, the law doesn't allow us to just stop something from coming in the United States. What it does do, and a most recent change in the Organic Foods Production Act, is we are now putting in place regulations to require import certificates. And so that will more clearly identify any organic import coming into the United States, which will give us a much better ability to oversee and enforce the market, because we'll have a much clearer sense of what's coming in from where, which right now we don't actually have under the act. So I think we do get that question of why don't you just? And usually the answer lies in the act and the regulations. And I think that protects us, that we can't just arbitrarily do something without a whole lot of people weighing in. And I think the transparency and the engagement, a lot of that happens through the National Organic Standards Board and people being able to weigh in on what they believe the standards should be. I think it's a very valuable system, even if it does seem awfully complex sometimes.
Yeah, I understand. So if I hear you right, that the NLP cannot act, NLP in certain situation when we get the question, like, why can't NLP just do this, is because A, it's not in the regulation. It's not allowed under the act.
Right.
B, in order to make that happen, you have to go through a public participation process.
Yes.
And C, that has to be a due process. Even if you have to take action, that has to be a due process. Am I understanding it right?
Absolutely. And let's that's a wonderful summary. And let's talk a little bit about that due process bit. We work under the American system of law. So you are innocent until proven guilty. And it turns out it takes a lot of proof to prove you're guilty. And so evidence of wrongdoing, I think one of the strengths of the organic market is, you know, we will accept a complaint from anyone who believes that there has been a fraud in the system. And so we get hundreds of complaints per year. We always look at those for what is the evidence that comes with it to demonstrate wrongdoing. But we have a lot of people out there on the street who are really helping us to protect the label. We are all working together at all different levels to protect organic farmers. Sometimes the process takes a while. Due process, because of the U.S. system of laws, it takes a while.
To go into that just a little bit, Jenny, because a lot of our listeners who are producers, who are large-scale farmers, people that are involved in the industry would definitely know the answer to this question. But we have listeners that are just consumers. They are just, you know, they're really not as involved in the industry, or they're not farmers. So as a consumer, if I were exposed to organic fraud, what would I do? What would my steps be? Who would I contact? Because a lot of our listeners probably don't know this information. And in hearing all of the things that we're talking about today, they say, okay, well, this is, you know, a great organization. But if I feel that I've been exposed to organic fraud, what do I do?
Jenny, before we chime in, I do want to chime in a little bit, add more thing to what you just said. Say, for example, I go to farmer's market, or
yes,
go to farmer's market.
Exactly.
And then in the farmer's market, you see this is organic. And then as a consumer, well, as an average consumer,
right,
said, is it really organic? How do I know this is really organic? And how do I know that?
Yeah, let's talk about farmers markets, because for consumers, that is a place where they often encounter the organic product first, and at the grocery store. So one great question is, look at the label. And so if it says organic on it, so let's say you're in the grocery store and you see a product that is labeled as organic, on the back of that label, you should always be able to see a certified by sign. So that tells you who certifies it. So might be QCS for it, that certified that a jar of tomato sauce, or whatever it is that you're buying. And so if you have questions about that product, you can call the certifier and ask them about the status of that operation. At the farmer's market, a lot of farmer's markets, farms will actually be required to display their organic certificate. And so if you want to ask a farmer who is selling as organic for their organic certificate as a consumer, you are absolutely entitled to do that and should do that. And in fact, farmers markets, a lot of managers are now requiring that organic farms post their certificate. So if your farmers market doesn't do that and you're interested in that, tell your farmers market manager that that's important to you. The Organic Integrity Database lists all the certified operations. And so anytime you're looking at a product, you can type it into the Organic Integrity Database. You know, private labels are allowed in organic markets. So there may be times where you search on a business, it's not in the Organic Integrity Database, but you'll still be able to contact the distributor or the certifier to be able to trace that back to who it was that was certified. So lots of different ways that consumers can learn about organic products. When you see the seal on an organic product, know the effort and energy and protections that go into making sure that product is what it says it is. And we are committed to continuing to protect the value of that seal.
Okay. So just to wrap up what you just said is that is consumers can, certificate is a public information according to the regulation. So The consumers can demand certificates to be shown because it's a public information.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Second, the OID database, they will get to the OID database, Organic Integrity Database, they can just Google OID database and then go to the Organic Integrity Database, USDA, show up, you click it, and then we can search it, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's a public database. You can search by certifier, you can search by farm, you can even search by item. If you're looking for bananas from a certain country or any commodity, you can search by commodity and location, which is why it makes a good tool for consumers who are interested in learning more about certified operations, but also for organic farmers who are looking for buyers and sellers.
Yeah, I think if I'm the farmer's market manager, if I have farmer coming in to set up booths and say they're selling organic, probably the manager on their side need to check. That's an extra protection for the USDA labels and also for the farmer's market itself, because you don't want to false marketing something as well.
Yeah, farmers. That's a great point that farmers markets managers can use the database to screen farmers that are coming in. I love going to farmers markets and looking up. I have it on my phone and I can look up in real time the what the business is. And sure enough, I see organic tomatoes right there in front of me, and it says listed in the database organic tomatoes. And so it's lovely when the data and the farms sort of come together to protect the market.
In the event that they don't, then what do we do? Like I said, as a consumer, if I'm certain that this is definitely fraud, who do I report it to? How do I move forward in that?
So the USDA, if you go to Google, you type in USDA National Organic Program complaints or file a complaint organic, it will come up with a web page and it will give you all the instructions on how to do that. And again, we get in hundreds of complaints a year and we review every single one of them. And so if you have evidence that you think is evidence that somebody is selling, for example, as organic when they're not certified, what we're going to want are things like receipts, things like pictures, you know, explain what farmers market you were when you were there, what you saw, what you did, if you bought something and have a receipt that says organic on it. Those are pieces of evidence that we need in order to be able to pursue a complaint.
Absolutely.
I want to shift a little bit of gear and move into something least known area, but a NOP plays, a National Organic Program plays a very critical role, which is variants.
Okay.
The National Organic Program allows, you know, for example, we have a citrus greening challenge in the state of Florida.
Absolutely.
We're losing a lot of trees, a lot of things in the state, a lot of citrus trees in the state. But I believe if the NOP plays a major role in making sure that if that is only for research purposes, and a proper variance. So for example, not necessarily big, large-scale universities, even a farmer, as a farmer, why is United States the United States? It's because of innovation. We hold most number of patents in the world than any other countries. So that shows innovation and creativity is a product of United States. So going there, every farmer wants to try something new, but they may want to try something that's not, especially when we're battling like citrus screening. So there are procedures for variance request. And would you elaborate a little bit more on that? But I know it is very rarest of the rare cases such variance is issued. But when there is some really research that needs, NOP has been always supportive on those kind of things.
Temporary variances are a critical part of that learning and innovation. And the regulations have a clear section on how to request a temporary variance. And I do think they're a very valuable tool. For me, when we get in requests for temporary variants, for example, to do a research project, it's fascinating to learn about what people are doing out there. And so the question with the temporary variants is always, how do we make sure that we're supporting innovation while also continuing to support the standard? So for example, in a temporary variant, you could not use prohibited substances. And so can't use prohibited. So we would never give a variance that would allow something to be used that isn't normally used, but we would allow some kind of practice research in order to sort of investigate what the different tools are. And so, yeah, it's a part of the regulations I don't know as a lot of people know about, but is essential to innovation. So appreciate your highlighting that as an important part of the regs and an important part of our program.
Yeah, the NOP is doing a lot of work. So if you have to say in some few bullet points, how does the NOP build, as the brand owner of the USDA Organic, how does the NOP build consumer confidence in the brand USDA Organic?
Yeah, I think our key actions are in the compliance and enforcement work of the complaints of moving investigations forward and our oversight of the public-private partnership and overseeing certifiers and making sure that certifiers are implementing the rules correctly and fairly and consistency. Protecting the seal, protecting the label, our top priority is protecting the choices that organic consumers and farmers are making. And so the transparency and openness of the standards means everybody knows what the rules are. And our job is to enforce those standards of making sure that those rules are being followed. We are committed to protecting the market, our top priority.
Yeah, I see that actually. When you come to when you come to some of the, for example, this week you're speaking in GOPEX, Global Organic Produce Expo. You go to, it's not just big trade shows, but I also see you in smaller trade shows, including ours, Florida Organic Growers Organic Summit, Moses, or other places you always visit. I appreciate that openness and the communication. Say, hey, these are our expectations from the program. These are the role that we are playing. And then emphasizing and letting the producers know, hey, here are the other tools that's available is very critical and helpful.
And visiting individual organic farms, that's really where I learn just a tremendous amount about what the challenges are for real farmers on the ground. And so yeah, I recently went to actually a university farm. And so they have all sorts of different kinds of commodities, and they're teaching sort of the next generation of organic farmers. And they're talking about, you know, what are the challenges out there? What do they see on a daily basis? So I love going to conferences. I love visiting certifiers, and I love walking the farms and visiting the businesses and hearing from the people who are just every single day working to implement the organic standards. It's really awe-inspiring to see the effort happening just around the world to protect the seal.
Awesome. I want to thank you all the work that the NOP, the National Organic Program and the National Organic Program and its staff are doing.
Absolutely.
We have been, as a grower organization, whenever we had questions or issues, or whenever we are asking for, hey, these are U.S. producers, the NOP has been able to assist us through within the legal means that's available.
Yes.
And what is allowed under the regulation. So we want to thank you on behalf of Florida farmers and organic soil growers here. So thanks a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, absolutely want to thank you for being on our podcast today. And just for any of our listeners, whether it be a farmer or a consumer that has any more questions or would like more information pertaining to the NOP and what you do, how can they contact the NOP and where can they get this information if they have more questions or want to access the tools and resources that you all have available?
Yeah, there's so many organizations doing good work. You know, FOG, Florida Organic Growers, provides so many resources. I think those are so important for local folks in your state, contacting certifiers, contacting us. You know, our phone directory is online. We're not hard to find, actually. And I like it that way. Every day we have Joan and Sandra in our front office who take calls from farmers who want to learn how to be organic. And it's literally hundreds of calls that come into our office a week. And you know, they help every single one of them understand how to navigate the website, how to find a local certifier. Yeah, call us. We're around.
Okay.
Wonderful. All right. Well, if you have any more questions, you can log on to the NOP website, or as Jenny said, you can call them directly and get those questions answered. As always, if you have any more questions for us at Florida Organic Growers, you can log on to our website at foginfo.org, or you can access our social media through Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. As always, we thank you for listening. Rom, I thank you. Ray, I thank you for being here today. And for more information, contact us.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. As many of you already know, FOG is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, which means we need your help to keep all of our content free to the public. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation today. We would really appreciate your support.